Now, we spoke about, we've been talking about a verse in 1 John 4:18, and 1 John 4:18, and that's been our focus. And so today's going to be more application-based. It's going to be more to do with a series of questions like we're doing before. But let me always give a summary. Let's give a summary. So 1 John, as we've discussed, talks about there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so we discussed about multiple things when it comes to love, when it comes to perfect love. What is that state of perfect love? What is fear? And the first thing we realize is fear is the same word. It comes from a word phobia in the Greek, which is where we get our phobia. The word phobia, it's a terror. It is actually, fear is not something negative like we think it is. It is a very positive system that God designed in a man to show the man that at that very point or moment when you're fearing, there is a thought that is external from who you are, that is attacking you from the outside. So you fearing is not a negative, but it's an alarm system that is telling you that there is a thought in your mind that's not supposed to be there. And so that's the way of God speaking to his people and letting his people know that manage your mind. Manage your mind. At this very moment, there's a thought that is resting in your mind that's not supposed to be in there. And so when these thoughts come in, and these thoughts come in as in through different sources, through different seeds, it could be a word, it could be an action, it could be but it could be something someone says and so forth. But what we need to know is the original state of a man is a state of love. Man was designed to always be filled with love. He was designed to be surrounded with love. He was designed to be in love. That was the state of a man. No wonder why, when we look at the music industry, one of the highest selling musics has to do with love. And these musics that had to do with love and broken hearts and so forth, they sell out real quick, because there's a void in people. Because their original state is supposed to be a state of love, but currently there's a void in them because they're not functioning according to that initial state, which is a state of love. And now this verse is telling us that we are in that very state already. You don't need to fight to be in love. You don't need to fight to be in the state of love. It is naturally comes to you. It naturally comes to people to be in love. Now the real battle comes in when we start getting things like insecurities. Then it becomes a battle. Then fear comes in. It becomes a battle. Hatred turns things into a battle. And so all these things are things that are not, that do not originate from the man, but these are things that are separate from the man. And they are planted by external thoughts that comes from the outside. And so we discussed about this in various ways, and I always like to do going around the circle to ask what do you guys remember from the stuff we've spoken about in the past, we touched into the area of perfect love drives out fear. As a reminder, I'm gonna ask again. We're gonna start with Earth. Perfect love. Where's your head at when we talk about perfect love?
Immaturity, like maturity in love, in all situations in your life, and how you act to it when situations happen.
Yeah, sizzle. Perfect love. What comes to mind now?
There's no fear in perfect love.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, that's all right. When you hear love, when you hear perfect love, what do you think it means? What does that mean to you? Love. What does love mean to you?
I always try to remember know the verse where it says in the scripture that you can't say you love God but you hate your fellow brother.
Yeah.
So you had to learn, you know,
forgiving, fruits of the Spirit is forgiving.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, that's a good start there. You can't say you love God and not love your brother.
Perfect love is loving without condition. And yeah, condition.
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
Perfect love is love and self. You got to love yourself before you can love others. The confidence in yourself is love.
That's true. You want to come ask to come back to you?
Yes.
All right, there we go. What do you get from perfect love?
I get a lot from perfect love. Yep. It actually, what I realized is that perfect love actually stops you from reacting to certain things. I don't know how it works, but you actually, once you have love within you and you love yourself first, you sort of realize that you don't need to react to things. I don't know if that's just me, but I didn't have to fight what people said anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that once I fully loved myself, it didn't really matter to me what A, B, and C thought anymore. So I think it's one of the best things. It's not the best thing, but love is one of the best things, and because there is actually no fear. Like, I'm not saying that because the Bible verse says that, but you're not scared anymore, you're not worried about this and that, or you feel calm and you feel at peace.
I have that problem. I react that, you know, straight away. I'm full negative energy. I react straight away.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a learning for me that reacting is not so much, you know, the way of actions of showing love, because love is patient and forgiving.
Yeah.
So it's been a learning, you know, journey for me to you know, to not react but respond with, you know, understanding and, you know, just keep loving.
And so we went about this and we actually dug deeper and we said this love that God calls perfect has an attachment of the word maturity to it, and that word perfect, it's something that has been fully grown in the Hebrew and the Greek. It means to be complete. It's a love that's been complete, that's been finished, that has been, it's an adult level of love. It's a level of maturity. When God looks down, he says, look, this person has perfect love, that is maturity. And so when we look at people in the world and we say, look, this person has a beard, this person has so and so forth, we call them mature. But that's not what God calls maturity. He calls maturity when faced in a circumstance, how you act instead of reacting to that very circumstance is what shows us that you've gained a level of high maturity. And so this love that's perfect, that's finished, can even be demonstrated in Jesus' life. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't say he was finished until that very last moment, until he endured all things, until he went through all different trials, and after having overcome all trials, and still loving his enemy, and still willing to die for those who did not love him, then he was finished. So sometimes we try to get to this level of perfect love by running away from problems, running away from people that are affecting us, running away from that. But matter of fact, God wants us to stay, not in dysfunction, but stay in the position of love. Someone does wrong to you, he wants you to maintain consistency in loving them regardless. If dysfunction is there, disattach yourself from dysfunction. Step back. Reflect. But don't stop loving that person. Because usually what we do is whenever someone hits a nerve, we cut them off. Disappear from my life. I don't want to see you no more. But we will never grow until you face the last problem you failed. Growth requires humans to face and not run. And so that's what perfect love is all about. It is a love that has been fully grown in that specific area, that is fully developed. And so God is telling us, when after going through all these trials in that very area that you're struggling with, after facing all the hatred, after facing all the people spitting at your face and speaking negative to you, you have a choice to decide. Should I love or should I react? Should I act or should I react? And that decision is what's going to determine what level of maturity you have, what level of understanding you have, what level of knowledge you have. Matter of fact, it's the same way we live life, because if someone comes to you and say, I'm an electrician, and you give them a job, and they can't do what they were designed to do, what they were paid to do, then we realize that this person may say he is that very thing, but he's not that very thing. Why? It's not determined. Being an electrician is not determined by when you say I'm an electrician. It is determined when you're in front of a job. When there's a job to be done, whether you can get the job done or not, that's what determines whether you're qualified or not. Now, some people may say, well, how come there's people with degrees and so forth? I tell you, even in the work industry, you can carry all the degrees you want. And if you cannot apply it, you won't get a job. I guarantee you. Been in the industry for a while. I've watched people that you get all the qualifications you want to get in the world. We're going to say, well done for getting the qualification. But now apply what you know. Let's see what you know. And it's going to be known in that very day when the job comes in and they say, Joe, what do you know? Do you know how to solve this? Do you know how to love? Do you know how to this? At that very moment, you have to apply what you think you know. And you can't be the judge. Now the world is going to be looking at you. That's when they're going to be the judge over you. And they're going to say, all right, this guy is not just speaking randomly. He knows what he's doing. And it's the same thing with God. He requires us to go through multiple trials to build this state of perfect love, where we've perfected love in this area. And so when fear comes along, now that perfect love is so perfect that it destroys any form of fear that comes in, any form of phobia. If you don't understand what fear is trying to say, any form of terror. Fear of failure is one of the biggest fear people struggle with. People don't want to invest. They don't want to go forward. They don't want to try something new. Why? Because I might fail. And so when you're locked down by these insecurities are heavy laden. These are heavy things you're carrying on your back. Because now your life is not a free life anymore. You're no longer free. That's what Jesus meant when he said you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, because the idea is now once you know your original state of perfect love, you now have a weapon that can conquer fear. And people may say fear is a small thing, but fear is the reason why a lot of us are not CEOs right now. Fear is the reason why not everyone is running a company. Fear is the reason why people are stuck on their day job 9 to 5. They hate their job, but they don't want to quit. Why? Because they're fearing the next step. Fear is the reason why people run away from good relationships. I've seen people meet a really good partner and run away from that very partner to go and land on someone that's broken. Why? Because they have a fear that if they connect themselves with someone that's good, they don't deserve it. There's a fear that there's insecurities covering them. They'd rather be in dysfunction and feel like it's normal and it's all right than to be in a relationship that is profound and successful and growing. People fear job opportunities because it requires them to prove themselves. People fear the general society, what they're going to say. So now we dress, we talk, we walk according to the external world.
But wouldn't you say that behind that fear of failing, there's a like that feel of that you're lacking something? I think it stems down to people being scared that I lack this qualification for this job. So would that stem, that connect?
Yeah, it does. It does. Matter of fact, the lack is what brings forth that fear. It is that lack that comes in the form of a thought. And that thought is built through imagination. That thought comes from external. Matter of fact, let's say I'm going to a job interview. Now I'm sitting there, I'm about to go to an interview. Now my mind starts running scripts. And I remember James Jackson said, I went through the interview last year. This company was really harsh. The managers treat you really really bad. They don't want to give everybody a job. That everybody that's been in interview, only one person got a job. 90 people went to an interview, only one person got the job. Now, these thoughts didn't come from you. It's somebody else's experience. Now, you've ate those fruits. Now, when you're sitting down ready for the job interview, it's running through your script now. It's running through your mind. 90 people applied, only one person got it. What's the chance of me getting it? And then you say, okay, maybe let me find out about this one person that got it. You check him out. Okay, this person's got 6 degrees. I don't even have a degree. Now you start comparing now, comparison. And so all this stuff, the managers, the people watching your application, the people hiring, themselves, they haven't said a word. And you've already concluded the end results. So now, we do this on a daily basis. So, opportunities that God has opened time and time and over again has been broken down by the things we fear. And no one that knows God should be broke. No one. No one. Fear is not your enemy. It is your best friend. And someone said, wait, aren't we trying to get away from fear? No. It is your best friend in a sense is, if you listen to fear, it will tell you where you can improve. It will tell you where there's a lack. Let's stop treating fear as something that is just killing us. Because fear is not what's killing us. We are killing ourselves. Fear is telling us that we are killing ourselves. So if we change our mentality to see that as an alarm system, because all things that God created is good. God did not design anything in a human body that will bring you to a destruction. All things, it is designed to be able to communicate the master system, and the master system is you. It is your subconscious mind. And the system has to respond according to the information that comes in from the senses. And fear is also one of the senses that is telling you that you don't believe that you have the power within. And that's always my definition of insecurities. Insecurities means that you believe that you don't have the power within to impact and to affect your external world. That is what you believe. And so, what causes this fear is an external force, is these thoughts which are external. It's not from us. And matter of fact, we collect these thoughts all days, every day. You walk out, someone say, the police have been giving people fines these days. Now, that's a seed planted in your mind. When you see a cop car, I might get a fine. That's the first thought that comes in. You didn't plant it. Somebody else has planted it. You're scrolling through Facebook. It says, all right, if you don't wear this type of makeup, all right, you don't fit in this category. Now, females now feel insecure about how they look. if your man is not this certain height or this certain height, it's not an attractive relationship, then insecurity starts building up. And so all this stuff is not what you want, but it's what has been placed out as a mirror, as a screen for you to look at. And as you look at it, you believe in it. As you believe in it, it manifests. As you manifest, you look at it again, it dwells in. And so you become stuck in a cycle. That's why it's a vicious cycle. Because your external world is only a mirror. It only tells you what you believe. That's all it does. It's been given one job and one job only. It is to tell you your belief system. It mirrors it. And so your belief system is broken. When you look out, you see brokenness. And so now you get thoughts of negativity. And these negative thoughts, when they're suppressed, they turn into anxiety. Anxiety suppressed, anxiety expressed is depression. That's what it is. But these thoughts were caused by what? The original root and cause of everything is ignorance. You didn't know who you were. You didn't know the original state. If you knew that regardless of what anybody says, you will always be loved, you'll be walking differently. If you knew that you have been placed in this earth with a purpose, equipped with a gift, that whatever you put your mind to, your gift is there to make you great, you walk differently. But when you are trying to, instead of the system catering for you, you are trying to cater yourself for the system, you'll be chasing tail your whole life, trying to survive. Talking about, I ask somebody, say, how you doing, man? I said, man, they respond to me, Joe, man, I'm just surviving. I looked and I laughed. Why are you surviving? You've got all the resources in you. Everything you need for your life is already in you. And the core foundation of everything is identity. And the identity is love. That is your identity. You are a being created for love, to love, to be love. That is who you are. Now this perfect state will always cast out fear. Always. Because fear is a result of an external source. And so as we discussed that, we've been going through a series of questions and scenarios. And before we get into our usual games that we play, we've been recently playing every Monday, I want to ask if anyone has anything to add about fear and love. Has anyone has anything to add?
Sister Kutsai preached at Sabbath one Sunday.
Yeah.
On Sabbath. And she preached about, you know, the struggles with, you know, anxiety, depression. And it's always encouraging to know that your identity in Christ,
our Lord,
Savior Jesus Christ, you know, that's our true identity. To, you know, as encouragement for a lot of the young youth, you know, going through anxiety
it
and
is,
mental
it
health.
Is.
So I think so. Thank you, Brother Macy, for sharing reminding me of that, you know, that's that key encouragement that we have our identity in Christ the Lord. So I'm into that.
Nah, definitely. And I want to say one thing about what you said. It's very powerful in terms of identity. It's whether you believe in your identity or not makes no difference. Now, your identity comes with a package of inheritance. If you don't believe it, it's your fault. Because the universe recognizes you as the master of this very earth. He knows you are the master. But if the master does not know that he is his own master and he governs all things that is placed in front of him, then that's a loss from the master. But all things was given to you. And when it was given to you, he said, all things are yours. He said, let them have dominion.
Yeah, what you were saying with that, that they can't run away from their identity. And yeah, as much as you try to, it doesn't change the fact about what's true about you and about what God created you to be in the first place and what he intended for all men.
Yeah.
And it just ties in with, you know, those verses that, you know, it's quite plain. It says God is love, and then it also says that God created man in his own image, which is love. It's very easy to understand that.
And that's how it should be. It should be simple and easy. Sometimes we like to complicate the Bible too much, and people think it has to be a math equation and so forth. But life was never supposed to be toiling. It's not never supposed to be a trial and error. It's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be flowing with milk and honey. Flowing. Not forcing. Flowing. Anyone else has anything to add before we go into the next section?
Just with, I heard the part where you're talking about running away from your identity, which is love, because I used to do that. I used to run from love because I was scared of being hurt. And that was because the reason why I had fear of love is because I didn't have love within me. Because you can't be scared of something that's within you. I don't think I can be scared of something that's within me. So I used to run away from people who cared about me, were trying to help me the past year or two. And then it wasn't until I experienced unconditional love that's when I could actually accept love. I don't know, that was just my experience with love. And now I can give love, whether it's through like talking to people or volunteering or the work I do. It's still, and like love is not just like hugging and kissing. That's not like what love is. But you do, I believe that you should show love in everything you do.
Ability. Availability.
That's so the one.
Mercy, but I remember you mentioned that when I was doing it, so that's words of wisdom right there. So mercy. So you know, mighty Buster, thank you, sis, for reminding me that too. It's not all about, you know, just, you know, all that. It's just hugs and all that. It's also like showing that, you know, like
I know, like the love, looking at other people. You can, you know, if they like annoy you or, you know, get you angry or something like that, you could look at them and see Christ in them, and that like makes, losing my train of thought. So like when you're looking at someone, you see Christ in them and you see them as love, and that just, you know, what they're doing, you see the positives. Like you can see what they can be. You can see what they're made to be, who they are. Yeah.
I even discussed this in the, if you, you know, into podcasts, have a listen, but I discussed this because people used to, before, if you annoyed me, you're gone. It's simple. That's the way I used to do things, but the person who's annoying you is teaching you something. I learned patience. I learned how to detach. And it was the hardest thing I probably had to do, but it was the best decision I made to stick with it and detach myself, because you have to separate the person with their actions. I had to separate the person who's annoying me and doing all this stuff I have to separate the two. Their actions and who they are not the same. Yeah, I really like the point that you mentioned, Cody.
Thank you, brother, for that. And Mighty Buster, thank you, sis, because Sizzle reminded me when you did a children's story and you mentioned that, you know, if someone is annoys you, you will go after that person. And so that's, for me, that was like, I'm just as bad as, you know, I'm like that, you know, because of the whole react.
Yeah.
You know, but it's words of wisdom. Thank you, sis, for Mighty Bus for saying that. You got to look at the good of the person. That person's teaching you, you know, patience.
Yeah,
I'm like that now, you know, you can't straight away negative react to what's the thing that's happened. You got to look at the good of that person, and that teaches a lot.
Understanding where the behavior comes from. People don't just behave rudely for the sake of behaving rudely. I wasn't. It comes down to hurt people. Because I used to behave like that. I behaved in a horrible way towards people because I was hurt. And that's why with even people, the kids I work with and everyone I encounter, I examine them and I listen to what they say. And you don't detach yourself. Don't take things personal because it's not about you. It's really about them and where they're at within themselves. And they're just expressing that at you.
Yeah, it's really important to first understand that you are love first, that before you can look at your brother or your sister and identify them with that, because you can't see them for who they really are if you first don't see it for yourself.
Keep going. We're on a roll.
And I think it's where that verse comes in. You hypocrite. You see the log in your brother's eye, but you can't see it in your... Do you know that verse?
Yeah, I don't know where
it is. But that's exactly what my life used to be. I used to blame everyone else for my situation. Never took responsibility. And it was within me the whole time. The log was in my eye just as much as it was in my brother's eye. Yeah. No, I'm being serious.
No, it's good. Good to be transparent.
But yeah, that Bible verse where it says that, you know, we love because God loved us first. Yeah, so we have to also be that example to others, you know.
They
will not have the ability to love if you don't love them first.
There's something I stand by all the time, whenever I meet people for the first time and so forth, and they come and ask me for advice and so forth. And I always tell them, I say, look, in this very world, we always... we judge ourselves according to our intentions, but we judge others according to their actions. It's very profound right there. Whenever you're measuring yourself, you always think, what was I trying to do? Whatever you did could have been the worst thing in the world, but if you can justify it in your head, you say, my intentions were good, so this is not that bad. But when you look at other people, you never ask, what was the intention? And that's very interesting, because imagine in a relationship, someone does something to somebody. Instead of someone reacting, they go, what were you trying to do? What was your intentions? That changes the whole situation. You did this, you did that. Let me not look at behavior, let me look at intentions. And let's stop working from the layer of behavior and let's start working on a layer of intentions. And you will see that most of the time, what people are trying to do, they're trying to figure a way out where they can express themselves to you so that you understand what they're going through. That's usually all it is. All it is people are trying to find a way to express themselves so that people understand what they're going through. And so it goes to different degrees. Because why? sometimes someone might express themselves with words. People don't understand her. Then she raises her voice. People don't understand her still. Now she feels like if I throw a table, so it might get people's attention. And throwing table doesn't work as well. See, that you guys that work in juvenile with kids, that's how we climbed up. Now throwing a table didn't work. So, okay, what level can I go in? Let me throw a chair, throw a table. Two things. And is that working? All right, that's getting people's attention. I'm going to stop right here. If it's not getting people's attention, let me add more disaster to it. Throw a chair, throw a table, swear a couple of people, push some people. Is that getting attention? If it's not getting attention, I can climb a little better. Get a knife, get this, get that. Steal this, and so forth. And it keeps climbing off. It's because people didn't just become what they are now. It was a series of, let me express myself, understand me, understand me, understand me, understand me. And every time they felt like they were not understood, they went to an extreme level of expression. And so we don't think about that stuff. We don't judge others according to intentions. We see them and we say, behavior bad. If behavior equals bad, and now we try to work into it. Okay, how do we do behavior modification for somebody else's life? But behavior modification is always temporary, never permanent. Because the intention will still be there. And if the person is still not understood, they will still climb to an extreme state. They might be from a different angle, but they will still get back to where they were before. And so we look at an action or look at a behavior and we say, this is bad behavior. And we put the person down and we blame them, we shame them. And then we tell them how they can change that behavior. But you don't need to change anybody's behavior. Matter of fact, people don't need your help to change their behavior. Their behavior is just a result of the roots that is rotten in their hearts. That's all it is. The behavior is just the end result. Don't change the end results. Go back to the very beginning and change the cause. And that's how God deals with us. He never looks at actions and so forth. He doesn't look at your behavior. No wonder why he said there is no condemnation. Because condemnation has to do with what he's talking about in 1 John 5 here. Has to do with a fear expressed on you, which has to do with punishment. Punishment of what? According to your behavior. You didn't meet this certain behavior, so we shall impose fear on you that you may be punished. But God ain't about that. He's all about returning back to the roots of who you are and teaching you. Matter of fact, we punish ourselves more than God punishes us. Matter of fact, God doesn't even punish anybody to begin with. And that statement, a lot of people might say, well, that's not wrong. He educates those who he loves. But you'd be surprised at God's technique of education. It is always rooted with the beginning. And now I understand why when the Pharisees will always come and look for Jesus to ask him questions on how to punish a certain person, how to blame or condemn a certain person, Jesus will always look at them and say, it wasn't so in the beginning. This wasn't the state in the beginning. This was the beginning. You're trying to do this now, but do you know what the beginning looked like? Always trying to take us back to the original intended purpose, which is the intention. And so now that we've gone through this, we're now going to move into the next section, which is our game time. In a game we've been playing lately, and this game is called What to Do. Act or react? How? What should I do? And so in this game, the way it works is I go through a series of questions or scenarios, and we discuss around the table of what you would have done in that situation and how you would have acted or reacted, or And then we discuss on how to act in that situation when placed in that very situation. We left on the scenario we left from last week. Was a very, very profound scenario, very deep. I gave you guys time to go and reflect on it, so we can go back through it again this week. And so we're gonna start from where we left off last week. And so this was a scenario. The scenario was that people in the relationship, there's a couple in the relationship, and your partner cheated, and the scenario essentially is my partner cheated on me. It was all their fault, and I believe it's all their fault. But now, after time has gone past, that same partner wants to come back and become civil. They want to be civil with you. They did wrong to you. Now they want to return and become civil. And this is a scenario that happens in people's life every day. And usually people run away, some people run to friends and ask, what should I do? And there's all different types of advice. Now we're going to answer these questions according to what we just learned. Love. How does a person act in this situation? The person who has been hurt by somebody who has cheated on them. Now that same person wants to return in their life to just be civil with them. What should they do? There's someone out there in the world asking, what should I do? Let's get some word. What should I do? No, this is just civil. That's all he wants. He just wants to be civil. Hey!
First, yeah, you have to have compassion, and just you do have to forgive, and you have to look past what they did, because it still doesn't change who they are, which is love. And yeah, peace is good. Peace is good to have in all your relationships.
Salama, thank you, sis, for that, because forgiveness is it's very hard to do. But I've learned, you know, I learned that the scripture in the Bible said, don't let the sun go down still in anger.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my grandma always reminds me that, because I get into a fight with my grandma all the time over chocolate cakes and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, so I've learned to...
Nah, honesty is good. Honesty is good.
You feel me, brother? Yeah. I mean, so...
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, I've learned, and on another serious note, physically, like, it's... I understand what I'm saying, sister. You know, peace comes from true peace. You have to learn forgiveness, because physically it causes you, like, you know, anxiety, physical, like, gives you arthritis and all that, because you're holding grudges and
What would you advise somebody that's going through this very situation in their life right now, where somebody has hurt them so bad, and now that person left, but that person has not come back with an apology and asking to be civil? What would you tell them to do? What advice would you give them? Imagine it's a friend coming up to you tomorrow.
Yeah, well, first I would say that, why have you given someone the power to affect you so much? Why? I don't know. Like, I don't know. This is where I'm coming from. If I'm married to you, like, we're one, but I'm not going to give you so much power that you're going to make me cry. Or, I don't know, like, I'm being honest here.
No, honesty.
Like, yep. I still love them. I still love my partner, and I do. That's not, I'm not saying I don't love them, but not enough. You shouldn't attach yourself to someone that much. I don't know. I just think it's right for me. You all looking at me weird. No, but I'll tell them, the first thing I'd say to the person is, why have you attached yourself to someone that much? Why have you depended on them for your feelings that they've affected you so much? The second thing I would say...
Hold on, let's stop on that first thing, right? It's a very good say. It's a very good question also, but someone coming into you And the first thing you say to them is that, do you think it's condemnation or do you think it's not condemnation? Because at that very moment, their mind is flying through different stuff.
So in my mind, it's not condemnation, but in their mind, it might be perceived as condemnation. So what I would say to that
It's not bad. I'm just putting it out there.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So what I would say to that person now is that you need to heal first. There'll be anger, there'll be emotions flying up and down. So I think spending time in isolation for a little bit, just so you heal, analyze the situation from a third party perspective. Because I've tried it before. When you're angry and you've just brought someone's cheating on you, saying to someone you forgive them is a lie. Because you don't forgive them while you're in all that emotion. You can't. You can't do that. So I think you have to take some time out and realize who you are first. Understand that love is within me.
Yeah.
And once you can understand that love's within me and understand that you're accepted, you are loved, that what's happening to you in that relationship doesn't define the love or doesn't mean you're not loved. It has nothing to do with your actual state of love. And once you realize that, that's when you can actually forgive others.
What do you think, Earth?
It's just like what Sizzle was saying, like when it happens, your first feeling would be anger and frustration.
Yeah.
And you should like take time out and then definitely cool off, because you do not want to accept there to meet up with them while you're still in that emotion.
Yeah.
And when you do calm down, and you know, like I believe you have to have that knowledge too.
Yeah.
To of forgiveness and like love. Because you can't give it if you don't know it. And then because if someone comes up to me and like they want to be civil after like what they've done, they're admitting that they're wrong and wants to live in peace and stuff. And that's, I think a lot of people would overlook that.
Yeah.
That's, it takes a lot of courage and humble yourself to like admit that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And coming to face that and talk it out, but because most people just run away.
Yeah.
So you gotta have that perspective too, that they're willing to drop their pride and just come talk to you and apologize and stuff like that.
Very good points.
I think I would ask the person who's asking for advice, I'd ask them like what do they want? Do they want to be, you know, stuck in this cycle of, you know, unforgiveness or bitterness? You know, what do you want? Do you want to like overcome this? And if so, then yeah, take the steps or step back and reflect on yourself and what you want to be in life, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. Do you want to be more loving? Do you want to, you know, overcome?
Yes, definitely your perspective on just relationships and love in general. And because personally, I've had a relationship where it caused me a lot of depression and anxiety, and we just got so exhausted of each other, we stopped talking to each other, and that's how the relationship ended. And there was just so much grief and anger in it. And then as time went by, like I myself just discovered my identity with love, and I identified with that. And like just one day this person came back into my life and, you know, yeah, like asked to be civil with me. And for me, that just brought me a lot of joy, and I was just very grateful, you know, like throughout all of that. In the relationship, we were still able to be civil with each other.
Yeah.
And I was still able to look at that person with love, because I just know that person is love.
And it doesn't mean you gotta run back to the person and so forth. Don't get that wrong. Don't get that misunderstanding. But your progress in all the areas of your life is dependent on your forgiveness. Forgiveness has held a lot of people back in their career-wise, in their mental state, and so forth. But the question I would like to throw out there, because someone coming to ask you that very question, in that very moment that they're coming to ask you that question, their mind is going chaos. There is a lot of thoughts coming in from all directions. What advice would you give them to how to manage their mind at that time? Because you might say, we've talked about a couple of things like isolate yourself, but I've seen people isolate themselves in that situation and hurt themselves. Oh yeah. Now, we got to be specific now. How did someone manage their mind in that situation? Yeah.
Some people just do, because they first say they don't even know how to manage their emotions. Yeah, so that's why they feel like that in the first place. No one's given them the understanding and told them that they had the power to be able to take control of their own emotions. What I would do in that situation, firstly I wouldn't validate it, but I would help this person navigate their mind. And
sorry, what do you mean by you wouldn't validate?
I wouldn't. If they're feeling, if they're feeling bitterness or just ungodly feelings towards this person,
yeah.
I won't be there to encourage that.
Or why not?
Because if I allow that, if I encourage that, then I will let them believe that it's okay to feel like that for somebody, towards somebody else, when I know that there's a better way.
What if the person that cheated on them really hurt them?
Yeah.
Doesn't it deserve to be talked about like that?
Do they deserve to? Yeah. So it's good to let them talk it out, acknowledge it, but don't validate it. I wouldn't validate it. I'd tell them that the fact that they acknowledged it is so powerful, and it's, that now that you know this, what are you going to do from here?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to dig a deeper hole for yourself, or are you going to, overcome this situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's this thing? I dig into my love songs collection. I put them on, heartbreak and all that type of love songs. You know what I'm saying, Sissy?
Yeah.
What brother was saying, the top, with the world music out there, they go to the top love songs.
Yeah.
I do all the whole, Cry Me a River. That's how bad emotionally I am.
Yeah.
The TLC Waterfalls. Yeah.
That's what you currently do. But what would you love to be able to do?
So now I just, I put on my favorite gospel hymns now, and so I just give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And then or cast all my, like my grandma taught me as a young, jingle song, kid song back then, cast all, cast your burdens unto Jesus. So I just do my little gospel hymn, and then, I've stopped digging into my love song collections.
Yeah.
That's...
Because do you believe that those going through heartbreaking songs and so forth, does that intensify the emotions? It's a general question. Does it intensify emotion?
I'm going to be very transparent here. When I had a really rough year last year, the music, I shouldn't be laughing, but when I was suicidal, the music I listened to was suicidal, which was the most ridiculous thing I could do at that time. But I think it's because it validates your emotions, that's why you listen to it. And I think that's why people listen to these love music, because it validates the person's emotions at that time. So I know two different things, but see, with love songs, I don't wouldn't listen to a love song if someone broke up with me. Like, like I don't know. Like, but it's because it was, it's different because with suicide, it was within me. I was fighting myself. That's why it was so hard. But someone else, I cry and listen to one song.
Give him the mic, man. It's good. It's flowing. It's flowing, man. It's flowing. It's flowing.
I actually had this situation come up to me recently. Someone got cheated on, and that person who got cheated on came to me and asked me for just to have a chat or just for some advice and stuff. And it was very fresh, like. This person had just got cheated on the day before this happened. And, you know, for me anyway, when somebody comes to me and asks me, they're obviously, they're crying out for help. They're crying out for love. And, you know, because I said to this person, hey, I understand that this may be, this may be a rough time and for you right now. And I actually told this person, you know, I told them to get alone, but to rethink your values and what you want in this life, and, you know, do what you need to do to get those emotions out, whether it be listening to music, you know, watching a movie and like crying it all out. But after that's done, like, what are you going to do about that? You know, I told this person that at that point, that's what matters, is what you're going to do about it after you've gone through your emotions and all. And I don't think it's, you know, bad to listen to music if that's what helps you to get through your emotions, but it's what you do after that matters. Yeah.
But
I guess just like learning. Yeah.
But here's the danger of it, right? I mean, that very situation, I go listen to a song, and the song says, the lyrics of the song says, if you break my heart, I kill myself. Okay, then now, a seed's got planted. You'll be surprised how many songs do say that. And so, now, the idea was to get some emotion now. But remember, you only attract what you are, so you don't know the full state of the person within. Now, when they're going out and selecting music, it's only going to be a reflection of what's in it. So they can land on some nasty that's going to plant some seeds in them. Yeah, you see? He knows it. But I do get your point to pour it out and let it out so you can now decide what to do. But there's a gray area. There's a very trick there because... Yeah, see? Bring your mic. We need to get this on the mic, man. Come on. We need to get this on the mic, brother.
I need to have a drink after that.
So I think I would offer person to stay over. If they wanted some time, come to my place, take a breather. Just so, like you said, you don't want them being in isolation, so I'm there watching them. Not watching them like I'm some doctor, like coronavirus, but no, watching them like, you know what I mean, having been a shoulder. But I think the issue with that sometimes that people can become dependent too much. That's the only thing I'm worried about in that situation. But I think as well, like, you, people have to be willing to want to help themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's number one right there.
I think that's if the person's willing. Yeah, like, I can encourage them, but I can encourage someone, then they go do the exact opposite to what I've told them to do. And they have to be willing and wanting to change as well, I think. Yeah.
And this situation I've seen where people have gone in and gotten some really good advice, and they've gone in and done the opposite. When it backfires, they come back for more advice. And then you give them more advice, they go back and do the complete opposite. And then when they come back again, new advice. And so the first advice you gave from the very start, they never applied it. And in a sense, some people do that because they want to feel like, okay, I am working on myself by listening to this advice, but I'm still going to go do the complete opposite. It's a validation trick people do in their own mind as well, to feel like, okay, I'm doing something good for myself, so I deserve to also do something bad to myself, so it balances out. What do you reckon, Earth? But still there. Cheated on by a partner, and now the partner wants to come back and be civil.
Well, how would you help that person?
Yeah, so now we'll put it into context. It's a friend of yours that's come through and said, Earth, what I do? And the sub question that was asked from that was, how do you help them manage their mind?
For me, I reckon if they have like certain hobbies and interests they like doing, yeah, they should go do that, because that definitely takes your mind off things.
Yeah.
And like, I know, like in my situation, a lot of people just don't want to really stay down. But when you have like hobbies, and like especially when you have something you like doing, it actually gives you like a motivation to wanting to move forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good point.
And that's also like a good way to not really be for them to be dependent on you, because me and that person might have different hobbies.
Yeah.
But like you can like hang out with them at the start, like let them talk it out and stuff like that. And you know, when they calm down, you can just motivate them to go work on their life, like, what do you normally do before this and stuff like that, like, oh, they might like to go gym, and you can go like, oh bro, what was your goal, like this is a good time to like go work on that kind of stuff.
He's a small twist on that, because I'm speaking from real life experience. There's been a case where a guy did that. He went to focus on gym and he became addicted to gym, and that's what he breathed Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So
3 hours, leaves, come back for 3 hours again, and that was it.
Yep. I went through the similar situation with PlayStation.
Yeah.
It's been sold now. If anyone wants to know, it's been sold. It's not in the house.
Oh, you could have sold it to me.
Well,
with a TV.
It's gone.
So I can play some games as well. I haven't played games in a long time, man.
I'm not going to talk now. because that's the same thing that happened to me. I became too dependent on this PlayStation thing. But you... To manage, you have to want... I don't know how I'm trying to think how I managed my mind back then. But I was desperate for change. That's the only reason why. It comes down to, you could have told me a lot of things at Bible study 6 months ago, but if I didn't take it in, it all came down to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say it's all on this person, but you have to want to change. I'll tell them that, look, the first thing I'll say to someone, no, that's not the first thing I'll say, but I'll tell them during the conversation, if you want me to help you, you've got to help yourself as well. So what I'm telling you, you go back and you, not study it, but you go and see how you can apply it to your situation. And the way I used to manage my mind, instead of becoming so angry, was I would write things, like I would write how I was feeling. Like, I would just write in my book, and like, it was on. I would cry. No, because it's not bad to cry. It's, yeah. It's not.
No, crying is out.
So I think one way to manage your mind is just to let it out. Let it out on a paper, not in an angry or aggressive way, but write it down, type it up if you want, and then review it. Go back, review it, understand it, and then we can move on from there.
Yeah, I could relate with like writing things down, especially like when you're like in that moment. But like after you've overcome it and you take a look back at, you know, what you've written down and all the past, and you sort of just like look at it and laugh. But then again, you look at somebody else in that same situation and you can say like, hey, I've been there. Like,
yeah.
Here's how I got out.
Let me throw a little twist in that, because I've seen, now I'm speaking from life experience, because we can't just say theories, we got to say life experience. I've seen cases where people have written it down, and they've used what they've written down to keep them dwelling on the things in again and again. See? Right there.
So
yeah, no, I've seen it happen both ways. I've seen people take what they've written down and reflected on it, and other people used it as a substance of something to dwell on, and you bookmark a day and say, this day this person cheated on me, and now you come in that day it's become a dwelling point, and you dwell on it time and time again.
So, since you've been in that particular situation, when you were, like, if you could look back now, what would you have liked to do instead of that? So, what are some of the things you had preferred to do instead of...
Definitely not react. It's there's consequences to it. And you need to, yeah. And it's, yeah, not good. So, you know... Okay, you really need to think.
Was there specific strategies that you think could have been in place to help you think before you reacted?
You can play that. This loving couple here will have probably.
The question was like, what was the sub question?
The last thing about writing down.
Oh no, the sub question. From that scenario.
Managing your mind.
Yeah,
that's helping people manage their mind. Yeah. How would you tackle that? And then we branched off because Cody talked about writing things down.
Yeah.
And I explained about how I've seen cases where people use the things they wrote down to keep them in that dwelling mindset. And brother here said he's done that very thing. He's been through that.
Well, it just comes back down to, I mean, like, if you write the things down, it depends on how you use it. You can use it positively or negatively. You just gotta, you know, see yourself better than you are right now. Just, yeah, see yourself already overcome, already there.
Yeah. Already there. Where is there?
I know where there is.
Okay.
No. No.
That's my cousin.
Yes, you have to imagine yourself out of the situation. So, because you don't like feeling that way, imagine yourself feeling the good person. How would you feel? What would you see if you were the person, if you were out of that situation? Wait, I'm not talking to you now, I feel bad just looking at you. No, but you have to imagine yourself being out of the situation. So you have to die to the reality of what's going on in your world. So you die to this pain and you live to what you've imagined. So that's a seed that you've planted. Yeah, because that's how I dealt with my debts. I had to imagine myself being rich for things to sort of calm down with my debt. But you have to be faithful to that seed, because at first what I'll do, I'll plant a seed, then go destroy it by worrying about how this was going to happen. So you have to be faithful, and regardless of what you see or what anyone says, imagine yourself. Imagine someone congratulating you, saying, oh, you look good, even though you just came out of this relationship, but you look good. So imagine, you have to imagine yourself.
That just reminds me of a verse in Matthew 24:13, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So yeah, just endure to the end of that seed that you've planted and you'll be saved.
Let me have a say before we close down and we finish up for today. Now, no more twist. Alright, what we gotta understand is that the state of perfect love is a state that the person experiencing that very situation is already in. Perfect love is not something they need to get to. It's not a destination they need to get to. It is a place they're already in. Now, there was one task that was given to a man, and if men always return to the task that was given to them, all problems will always be solved, because the solution to every problem is in you. Now, the job and the task that was given to man was to discover yourself. That was all that was given. So in any circumstance, and relationship or no relationship, matter of fact, relationship is a primary area. The first stage is always to rediscover self. That is always the first step. So somebody coming in with that scenario, they said, Joe, I've been going through this, and this person did this to me. What I would personally, the road I would personally take is I would delete the fact that anybody did anything to that person. And we're going to have a look at self. Because the task, there's only one task to do. The task is not fix your relationship. The task is not go here. Look, seek first the kingdom. And that kingdom is where? Within. And all things shall be added unto you. So there is nothing to be fixed. The only thing to do is to discover self. And so the journey we can help people get into is a journey of self-discovery. Not fixing problem, because problems will be a result of behavior modification. We need to get them to return back to, who am I? That's the question right there. Oh, this person cheated on me, this person did to me. Who are you? See, your inheritance is given, your blessing, your success, your relationships success, all these things which the Bible calls the word barakah, blessing. It is a result of your identity. Your inheritance is given in proportion to your identity. Your problems are solved in proportion to your identity. Your relationship are resolved in proportion of your identity. Your finance is fixed in proportion to your identity. You know more, you get more. You know less, you lose whatever you have. It's a law. Everything works that way. It's no different from a relationship. And I always tell people, first thing first is, if you cannot take yourself on a date, do not get in a relationship. You must be in a point where you can date yourself. You are capable of going on dates on yourself, sitting by yourself, spending time with yourself, looking after yourself. Now you're ready. See, Adam tried to chase it. God said, well, Adam, Can you do it by yourself? And this saves you all that attachment that Caesar was talking about. See, if you can't date yourself, then you cannot date another. But people always trying to attach themselves to somebody else because they don't feel like they're even good enough for themselves. Send.
I have a question. Because we had this discussion a couple weeks ago, and because I felt kind of guilty for going on dates by myself. I felt bad because when people become attached to me, I felt bad for not becoming attached to them. So I felt like they were giving me love, and I don't know, in my mind, do you remember me telling you this? Is that I felt like I was being a horrible person because I wasn't giving them the same love they were giving me. Because there were some people who would attach themselves to me and became too much, and I wasn't giving that same level of attachment back. And is that, it's not bad. Like, it's,
you said it yourself. You're not giving the same level of attachment back.
But that's not because I don't love them.
You're not giving love, you're giving attachment.
Oh, okay.
No. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, we know what you mean.
The love you're talking about isn't like God love. It's like needing love. I need you. I need that attachment, and you weren't giving that back, which is not the love that you are.
Yeah, and so, no, don't condemn yourself for taking yourself on dates and so forth. Matter of fact, the world has become, if you want to understand how far the world has become disconnected from the intended purpose, have a look and see whenever you see somebody alone by themselves, they're like this. Why? They don't want to be alone. Nobody wants to be alone, so I got to look like I'm texting somebody. I got to look like somebody cares about me. I got to look like somebody wants to talk to me. And it's become a negative to be alone.
Yeah, I see that almost every day, and like going to work in the elevator. As soon as you jump in the elevator, everybody's just on their phone.
And really all it is, and sometimes you sit there, you think, oh stuff, this person is receiving 20 different texts. No. Most of the time, ain't nobody receiving no text. People are just scrolling through Facebook and social media and looking like they're typing, commenting on stuff to look like somebody cares about them.
The one thing last year that I didn't have an issue with was being alone. I wanted to be alone. So obviously now it's important to have people, and I can understand that, but where does that fear of being alone come from?
Anyone wants to answer?
It's not good for men to be alone.
It comes. It comes from the external world, you know, all fear does. And yeah, I guess it must have been your past or your observations of what the world was showing you.
The external world is just a mirror of our internal world. So I'm trying to figure out, and I'm thinking to myself, something must have happened in their past for them to then project that fear of being that. Maybe they got left out in middle school with groups, and then they're projecting that fear is still there. There's a seed still there. They're still not me. No.
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
See, because I'll go get coffee for myself and sit there. No problem, right? So, because everything's a mirror. Our external world is only a mirror. The world is always just trying to catch up with our internal. So I think the way I'm trying to figure it out is that they've planted that seed, or that seed has been planted within them maybe 10 years ago for some of them. High school maybe, they got left out of groups. And then what has happened is that they never dealt with that rejection. They've always carried that within them. Now that's developed a fear of rejecting, a rejection, because it made them feel bad before, right? So it's been a negative emotion with a circumstance, and people call it bad. So then now they still have that fear within them. And what as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that fear will be projected out. So then people are then like, I'm scared of being close to people. So then they become alone. But then there's also that fear of being alone. They want to connect, but then there's a fear. I think. Nothing's external. Nothing is external. I don't know. I was trying to put it together in my head. You mentioned how it was external. Yeah, my experience has played a part, because I think I got rejected. I got left out of groups in middle school. I did. Okay.
I see what you did there.
I know what you did there too. I did. I got left out of groups, and I remember in year 9, and I cried. I went home about that. I cried when I went home, and for a long time up until last year, that's why I didn't connect with people. Because I didn't want to be the one that got left out in a group. So what I'll do is I'll shut people out before they can get to me. And it worked for a while, but then I also wanted to connect. It was in my nature to talk to people. It was in my nature to connect with everyone. It was just who I was. And it wasn't until I understood full love. And I think people need to understand full love. Because now I cannot have a fear of being rejected. If I get rejected, it came out of us because it didn't belong to us.
And if you empower yourself to make that change, then you did not need that negative energy. Because we all, like, a lot of the young people go through the whole peer pressure thing.
Yeah.
The cool and the not so cool group.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just.
But that's what I mean, that they have to, it has to be a want. People have to. I can't, if someone doesn't want to get off a seat, I can't force them off a seat. Simple. And it's the same with the situation that you can't help someone that doesn't want to help themselves.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to say that that's discovery of self right there. Yeah. Right there.
Let's end it today. We will touch more. I think this question, this scenario deserves a part 3. There's multiple angles I still haven't asked. and now we will leave it here for today. Thank you for the chat. Thank you for the comments. This is very enjoyable, and I will continue next week. Thank you.
If you enjoy our content, thank you. If you want more, you can follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok. Head out to our website to find out about what we're doing up next at realitycreationtv.com. If you love the work that you do and you want to support us, you can support us through Patreon, Subscribestar, Crypto. All links in the description. I'm Joel Benisha from Reality Creation. Peace out.